Rediscovering Self is a podcast that addresses the daily ramblings of the mind and talks about what influences the way we think and how we can cope in an ever-changing world. This podcast is brought to you by Amrutam, an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community. How is everyone doing? We've entered December. This year has really, really flown past. And while December usually feels like the Sunday of the year and is filled with festivities all around, this year's been different. It's been difficult. And the end of the year can also be very challenging for some of us on a mental level. Which is why all of us here at Amrutam are really hoping that you're taking care of your mental health and that this podcast is helping you in some little way. Last week, we spoke about procrastination with Riya Gandhi. This week, join me, your host, Preeti, as I talk to Ishani Badyal about something that is very, very behavioral. Confrontation. Ishani Badyal is a psychologist, psychotherapist working in a personality disorder / difficulty service since 2016. She also has a private practice and has a keen interest in working with people with complex trauma. She works in a relational psychodynamic framework where she focuses on the therapy relationship. Themes of attachment, containment, and communication are often explored. Her long-term goal is to open a mental health cafe that also serves as a community center, probably near the oceans or mountains or both. Ishani, I have to say, this is such a cool concept. I feel like I'm going to be one of your first customers over there.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I hope I'm able to do that at some point.
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. How do you see that panning out?
So I am from the mountains, so I think that's one plus I have, and I've lived in Kerala for 2 years, and I think that's where I sort of developed my love for the sea as well. So I think if I have to do both, then it has to be somewhere down south, but hopefully in the next few years, I will start something like that.
Sounds awesome, and I'm personally really looking forward to it. And I also love how you don't even want to pick between mountains and beaches. You know, as someone who loves travel, I think I'm one of those people too. So I would absolutely love this whole concept, and I hope it's in both places.
Thank you.
So today's topic is something that I feel like a lot of us probably go through, and I really want to jump right into it with you. This one that we're talking about today is, you know, that sometimes we are scared of confrontation. We just don't want to approach a certain situation head on. The very thought of it terrifies us. I can state this for myself. I try to avoid confrontation at all costs. So why does this happen? You know, like, why am I so scared of confronting something?
So I think to just begin with, when we think of the word confrontation, I think everybody has a very negative connotation attached to it, that it's something which is aggressive, it's something which is sort of rude, someone is trying to put me down. And I think that's something which I'm not sure if we are taught, but that's something which I know people pick up, and that's something I see a lot in the work I do with patients, that, you know, confrontation means something negative, you know, that it's just something really bad. But I think that's where I want to sort of talk about this whole idea of that confrontation as a concept is not negative. If you know, you sort of understand it, it's pretty much someone is trying to give you a feedback. Someone is trying to say, point out something about your life, about your work, which according to them could be either say done in a different way, or is not, you know, the way you're doing it is not right. So I think one of the things which I feel makes people scared is that, you know, when you get a confrontation, especially at a work front, I think it becomes more like a personal attack. See, if someone's saying that, you know, your work is not good, that means that I am not good as a person. And I think this is something which is, I don't want to generalize it, but I feel like this is something which is very common with a lot of people, because it sort of goes back somewhere, I guess in the story, in their childhood, how things have been, that it's just that I'm not good enough. And then after that, whatever you hear translates into that. So you're not able to take the confrontation. You're not able to take the feedback as well, because it becomes all about, I'm not good. I'm not, you know, I'm bad at this. This is not something I should be doing. It I think also makes people then question themselves right away after they feel like they're getting attacked. That's why a lot of times confrontations are not effective, because well, people are not able to take that in, and it's not about the person, but it's about their context. It's about the way it's said to the person. So I think one of the things which is really important to sort of keep in mind is that someone is not blaming you when they're confronting you. It's something they're pointing out in you. And is this new idea of sort of feeling responsible without taking the blame? If I have done something wrong at work, or I have done something different in a relationship, if someone is pointing that out, that doesn't mean that they are blaming me. That means that they are sort of pointing it out. Now, of course, I'm talking from a perspective of someone who's getting a confrontation, but I guess it can happen from both ways.
Right.
So I guess when you said, Preeti, that, you know, you personally have also, you feel like you're scared of it. I'm sure you've been in places or you've been in positions where you ended up confronting someone. And I guess that's the other way, that when we do it ourselves, if we just think about it, you know, even for a second, we sort of go into it that, okay, we need to sort of get something done, and we need to sort of, you know, make the other person feel, I don't know about bad, but yeah, something like, you know, you want to make someone feel like they are not good. But that's not the point of it. Confrontations are actually not that.
Right. Like you said, you know, like there are two approaches, right? One is reactive, which also maybe stems from the root that maybe I'm not good enough, or, you know, the inability to accept feedback about oneself. I think over there, like you said, right, maybe it goes back into childhood. And the second is a little proactive, like in the case where if I have to approach someone and question them about what they did, then is it like I'm thinking about, you know what, I don't want to hurt their feelings? Or is there something more that goes on over there? Is it some kind of lack of confidence? Because sometimes it just feels like, you know, when you have to approach something, there is something holding you back.
So I think, again, there, when I'm confronting someone, it's big. So it goes both ways, right? Because I've been in a position where I have been confronted. And if I have to look at anybody's story, for that matter, your childhood, your school, and the systems probably most of us have come from, there is a very critical approach there, that, you know, you have to criticize a child, you have to criticize someone to make them feel guilty, and then they will get the work done. But so, I mean, if you sort of operate from that position, so when you are also confronting, that's your frame of reference too, that's your context too. You know, all the I guess unresolved, maybe anger, resentment, the bitterness you've felt in general, it's not towards someone per se, when you have that position. See, again, confrontation is also something to do with the power. Not everybody is confronting. There's always someone who somewhere is superior, has some sort of authority over you, even in a relationship, right? It's a friend who you regard as someone who is someone you look up to, you have a certain sense of respect towards them, they will confront you, or you know, you'll have that sort of a relationship. So when that happens, then even when we are confronting, somewhere we sort of play out in that dynamics, because we have been on the other side. So the empathy doesn't come in, but the other part of it comes in. And I know when I'm saying it, it's, you know, it, I don't know if it feels like, oh, it's not easy to do this. When I'm saying this, is also something like I see a lot in my work. I see in myself, like being a therapist, I've been in my own therapy. I do a lot of reflection on myself, and that's been a process with the patients as well, that it's not easy to do that. But I guess it's not hard as well, if you take that step back, that when I'm confronting someone, why am I confronting them? Do I want to make them feel shitty about themselves so that they get the work done? If that's my approach, then, I mean, then this conversation, like, about confrontation is not going to make sense to that person. But I think then when you are confronting, it is very important to somewhere ask yourself, why am I confronting? What do I want to do? And sometimes probably you are projecting your anger on the other person. It's all part of the process. But are you willing to think about it? I think in the end, that's where it comes down to.
Right. That actually makes a lot of sense. You know, the whole approach really matters, because how we approach it itself probably comes from a very different place. And like you said, if you're projecting anger, then our approach is going to be more negative, which is what the assumption about confrontation really is. But if we're able to unpack that and see the whole purpose of this whole situation that we have, then maybe it doesn't have to be as negative as one might believe, and it doesn't have to be an unpleasant experience. So, talking about the whole, you know, the whole situation that one might get oneself into, when it comes to confrontation, whether it is in response to someone giving feedback or it is from the role of someone who is approaching the idea or the topic or the piece that requires confrontation, can we say that, is this really important? Is addressing a topic in a certain way important? And how does one go about confrontation?
So I think, if confrontations are important, I feel like they are very essential in terms of, relationships. They're very essential when it comes to anything, even for that matter, work. Because I think one of the reason confrontations are important and are relevant is because we are, as human beings, we are social animals. We are constantly relating with people. Sure, you can want to live, a separate, isolating life. You can do that. But still, you are always interacting with people at some capacity. Even if it's your house help, even if it's someone who's getting you water, anything. You're constantly, you are interacting. And when you're going to interact with people, when you're going to relate with people, things will come up. When I'm saying things, as in you will feel something towards them, they will feel something towards you, and there will be a reaction. And as much as, and when that happens, then confrontation also becomes part of that dynamics. Like I said in the beginning, that if I have a friend or if I'm with someone who I, look up to or I respect them, I would want to know what they actually think of me, right? I would want a genuine, honest relationship, and confrontations are part of it. Again, confrontation doesn't mean that the person is putting me down or they are trying to say that I am better than you, Maybe they are, but I guess if you're listening to it, so again, from a position of someone who's getting confronted, you need to make that boundary for yourself. You need to at least start thinking about that boundary. It's your emotional boundary, that I'm not going to take that in after a point. I'm going to listen to the feedback and I'm going to respond to that, not to the fact that I am a shitty person, because I'm not. Nobody is bad person that way internally. So I think that's one of the reasons I feel confrontations are very important. And the other thing is that you need, if you're talking about evolving, if you're talking about progressing, you would like feedback. You would like to know how you're doing. You would like to, know sometimes where are you going wrong or what you could do better. And as much as you can self-evaluate, it's always good to have people around you who are able to even point it out that, this is not, I think, you need to sort of do it a different way. Try doing it a different way. So I guess if you don't get that, then we are trying to make human interactions very, very sort of nice and very sort of great, which they are not, right? It's all part of it. You can't just be like, I'm going to throw away the anger and I'm just going to take away the good part. If you're in something, then you are sort of in it fully, and emotions are all bad, good, resentment, anger, everything.
Right. You can't have one without the other. We wouldn't know the value of one without the other. So human beings are complex. And I think, I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all as well in this situation, right? I feel like there were a lot of really pertinent points brought up over there about why it is important and, how one actually does need to do it at one point or the other. You can't really escape confrontation altogether. So for people who actually have an issue, with approaching or initiating a confrontation, so to speak, are there any steps that we can actually, use as a bit of a roadmap to just start changing that behavior?
So I think, like you said, that in terms of, of course, we are complex and, we can't generalize, steps for ourselves. But again, when it comes to confrontation, when it comes to, say, you approach, you have to, confront someone, I think it's important to think about it before you do it, right? It can be an act of impulsivity, but I think that's one of the times when it goes wrong, because you are, and I think the other thing actually I was thinking while I was talking to you was that because we are scared of confrontations, because we sort of keep avoiding them constantly, when it happens, it just feels like the world has fallen apart, because, we're constantly trying to sort of avoid it. And that's something personally I have done for the longest time, that I don't, I'm just not going to be in that space where I'll get confronted. I'm not going to take that. And of course, I guess, again, I'm not saying that you need to take shit from people. That's definitely not what I'm saying. You need to draw your boundary, but you can't run away from them. They're constantly everywhere. Sometimes people are directly confronting you. Sometimes people are, passively confronting you, which also has its implication. But coming back to your question about the steps, so I mean, one thing is that when you if you are in a position where you want to confront someone, you are sure that you want to talk to them about something, and confrontation is going to be part of it. Maybe sit back and think a little bit about it, how you want to go about it, and why do you want to, like I said, why do you want to confront them? That's a very important question. What is going to come out of this for you or for them? And is that what you're looking for, you know, as the end result of the confrontation? That's one, you know, something to keep in mind when you're initiating a confrontation. When it comes to receiving a confrontation, I think I also already mentioned about how it's really not, it's not about you. And I'm not saying it in the narcissistic way that, you know, it's not about you, but it is about the work you're doing. And if someone is making it personal, or if someone is making it like that, then that's their baggage to carry. That's where you need to sort of be like, I'm not going to take that. If you're going to tell me that the report I've written is not good, let me sit and think about it, and let's look at it together. But if you're going to spiral into telling me that, oh, you're such a bad person, you're not a good person, you're not, etc., etc., then that's not what I'm going to take. So I guess confrontation actually also means empowering yourself to be able to sort of, you know, stand up to it, not just keep taking it. So I think we started with like, how do I deal, like, you know, how do I manage it, or how do I go about it? But it's also sometimes to be able to confront a confrontation. Like, confrontation doesn't mean that you have to constantly keep taking it, because I guess that's the other thing which happens, right? That I'm supposed to take it. And I think I'm thinking more in the hierarchical structures where there is a manager, or there is like, you know, a person who is above you, and then they come with this position that you have to take it. No, you don't have to take it. Like, you have to take what you can, and apart from that, you have to draw that line. So again, the fear of confrontation is also right, that I can't do anything about it. If someone is confronting me, they're cornering me, and I can't come out of it. It's like a, you can think of it a bit of a response, like a trauma response, that, you know, oh, I can't, like, oh, I'm helpless. And of course, again, I think all the things I'm saying very sort of, I feel casually, but these things are, it takes time. It's not like suddenly you're going to start doing this, but it's important to be able to at least think about it. Even if, say, for example, you're in a situation where you got a confrontation and you didn't react well, or you felt very overwhelmed and you lashed out, or it wasn't a great experience for you. Now, that doesn't mean that you just put that away, that I cannot do confrontations at all. Because the more you do it, the more you will keep getting into this loop. So then it means that it requires you to either talk to a friend, talk to a therapist, to sort of resolve it, that what is going on? Why did I react that way?
Right, right. I mean, I don't know who would have thought that this one kind of behavior actually has so much going on behind it. And there's so much to think about when we think about approaching it, right? And again, we've already spoken about how important it is to start approaching it from whichever side you're on. It's so important to deal with it in a very, you know, holistic kind of a manner, and think about everything that goes behind it. And I just want to pick up on the last point that you mentioned, you know, that you might want to speak to a friend or speak to a therapist. You know, there might be, and you mentioned this earlier as well, that there are some thoughts and feelings, maybe anger, resentment, that one might need to look into. So like, what are these thoughts and emotions that need to be unpacked for this whole process to maybe be slightly simpler?
So I think, like I said, again, it's about, I'm trying not to generalize it, but I guess if I have to sort of still look at our systems, at least the system in our country, and the approach is, at least, you know, the educational systems, they are improving. I'm sure they are improving, but at least before, the approach has been very, very critical, very sort of, in a way, I would go ahead and call it abusive, you know, like physical abuse or even emotional abuse. And I think emotional abuse has its whole lot of, you know, its whole implications on a person. And I think it's really hard for people to talk about it. And I guess one of the confrontations sort of comes from that, because as a child, whenever you did something wrong, according to you, there was a reaction to it by these adults around you, say it your family, say it your, you know, teachers, which made you feel bad, which made you feel shameful, embarrassed, and guilty. And as a child, of course, you can't do much about it. So now it can be two things. One thing is that it makes you feel helpless, and you keep sort of isolating yourself. You withdraw. You sort of become depressed. Like, you become depressed to some extent. You get depressed. And the other part of it is that you get pissed off. You get really angry, and then you lash out later when you feel like you have that sort of control over another person. Because I don't know if I mentioned this in the beginning, that confrontation is a lot about the power dynamics which plays out between two people. where one person feels like the other person is more powerful than me, in which most of the cases, at least again in the work context, it is the reality. And at the other way around also, say if my someone who's a junior to me or someone, you know, who I feel is not that, you know, up there in my, you know, structure, if they confront me, I might not take it. And if another person who is up, you know, than whatever the other person, I will take it. And I think that's the other thing which happens with confrontation. It's really not about the authority. Sometimes someone who actually you feel is not an important person to you, or, you know, is not that powerful, can also confront you. Confrontation doesn't only have to come through power, but that plays out. And that's where it comes, when I said therapy, or when I said, you know, talk to someone, because it's not just about what happened in that whatever 5 minutes of conversation you had with someone. There is something triggered in you. Because, I mean, I'm sure there are people who take confrontations very well. And there are people who confront people, you know, all the time. Again, I'm not saying that maybe they're doing, I don't know what kind of job they're doing, but they do it. But then there are people who struggle a lot with it. And I do feel like there's majority of people who struggle with it because of these things that, you know, you're not used to. You're not used to get in touch with these emotions. And then when it happens, then at that point you feel overwhelmed. It just becomes more like a, you know, it becomes a mix. It becomes a little chaotic in your head. You can't separate it at right that moment. And that's why it's helpful, I guess, to reflect on it, to be sort of aware that why am I feeling this way by this confrontation? I mean, I've had patients, I've had like people around me who can't deal with a confrontation with this one specific person, or they won't be able to deal, you know, they can't take the confrontation from a certain authority figure. And I guess it could be like, if you have to think about the patriarchal structures, then it could, if there's a male, you know, authority figure confronting you, I'm sure people react differently to a woman authority figure confronting you. So I think all of these things definitely play out. There's so much. The social context definitely plays out.
Oh my God. Yeah. I know, who would have thought, right? Like authority figures from childhood, and then who we see as authority figures now. There's so much of linkages right to back when we were kids to who we see as adults, or who we see as superiors right now. I'm just trying to make sense of all of these relationships and how they actually replicate themselves. And I think that's also where, you know, like you said, a lot of behavior gets triggered. So it's so interesting, and there's so much of work to be done on oneself right now consciously because of whatever subconscious programming has happened and is affecting behavior right now. It's just, it blows my mind, really.
Yeah. I think it's as much as we look at the individual, and, you know, even in therapy, I mean, I do most of my work individual therapy, of course, but I recently have also started running groups, and I'm more interested in group work. And I feel like that's where it sort of, you know, comes in, that there is so much. When you sit with a person in a room, they're not just sitting with, you know, you're not just sitting with a person, you're sitting with their context, with their gender, with their sexuality, with the race they come from, with the caste they come from, everything. And all of this plays out, especially in a very, you know, when it comes to confrontations, because like I said, the nature of that word and the connotation is very much about, you know, superiority, inferiority. And then that just, that plays out quite often.
Right. I think this, for me personally, has been a very enlightening discussion. And honestly, I wouldn't have thought that there was so much to delve into in this one word, you know, but there really is. There is so much to look at, and there's so much to confront within this, you know, like just to approach the whole topic itself. So thank you so much, Ishani. This has really been very, very enlightening. And I'm so glad you were able to join us on Rediscovering Self to do this. Really very happy to have you here.
Thank you so much.
There was so much to take back in this episode, and I really hope we're all going back with something that's going to be adding some value to our lives. Join me next week at the same time for a brand new episode where we will be talking about something that has plagued all of us at some point in our life. Haven't we all thought that we don't like the way that we look? Stay tuned for next week's episode, and we'll get right into this. This is Preeti signing off. Take care, stay safe, bye-bye. Rediscovering Self is a podcast that addresses the daily ramblings of the mind and talks about what influences the way we think and how we can cope in an ever-changing world. This podcast is brought to you by Amrutam, an Ayurvedic lifestyle brand and wellness community.